Laurent.
The roller coaster is about to begin. You know, hold on tight, because this is the big time.
Hey, thanks for checking out episode number 33 of Pod of Thunder, the KISS podcast. That's what we're calling it now, right, Chris? We're changing it to we're just going to start throwing the terms KISS podcast.
That's just electronic version.
I know. We were talking about...
You don't need to SEO audio.
Yeah. We were talking about trying to get more eyes and ears on it and changing some of the phrasing and the iTunes description. So hopefully that works, and hopefully some of you are new listeners as a result of our... search engine optimization.
Well, it takes
efforts.
A while for that shit to kick in, but well, even so, you know.
Even so, welcome.
Yeah, we'll see what we can do to get some more organic visitors and new listeners.
Organic.
One thing I've noticed.
More expensive listeners.
Though I must admit that in my research, there are a lot of friggin' KISS podcasts out there with like three guy format. It's like all the same. Sort of orientation. I mean, nobody's doing it like we do with the every song selected random, but there's like Kistery Science Theater is one, and Kissopolis advertises another one. So we need to up our game.
We upped it this week. You said there's a lot of people doing the three-man tag.
Oh, yeah.
We upped it.
Yep, we got four again. We like this four-guy format lately. It's been our thing, and Jay's back. What's up, Jay?
Hi, guys. I'm back. Excited to be back. Well, 21 was my first episode. Took you guys to new heights. I'm very proud that you guys have run with it. And honestly, I don't know what Chris is laughing about, but I feel like I'm taking a gamble tonight because I've really enjoyed the last 12 shows. And I thought my predecessor guest spot, Bob, last week was awesome. So... I just wanted to throw that out.
So now you have to fill in Bob's shoes.
Yeah, those are big shoes to fill. Those size 6.5s are going to be tough.
So are we going to be playing an original track from Jay at the end of the show? One
no,
of his tunes?
We're not going to do that.
No, those soft rock classics.
It's a ballad.
Yeah. Bolton-esque crooning.
What's with Michael
Bolton? Yeah, he's everywhere now.
And those, what is it, Honda commercials?
Yeah, where did he come from again?
I don't know. He's back.
Everybody's crazy.
Michael, was that his album?
That was with Bruce Kulick on the lead.
He was in a metal band, right?
Well, I would
or
say
hard rock.
Yeah, pretty hard, yeah. Like that song in particular, the title track. The video, if I'm not mistaken, there's a hilarious series of moments where Michael Bolton pretends he's playing Bruce Kulick's guitar solo in the video.
Sounds funny.
Like he has the guitar and he's pretending like he's actually playing it. I think, because I saw it once a long time ago and... someone might correct me out there, but check it out. Actually, I like the song a lot.
All right, we'll have to check it out. But what is this, 33? 33?
33.
This is Nick's golden episode.
My golden episode.
What does that mean?
We did
that
on
my age.
We did that on the 30th for my golden episode.
You're only 33.
So in a couple of years, we'll get to yours. That's a joke.
I didn't know you were only 33. It's depressing.
What is that supposed to mean? There's some heat going on in that.
There's
end of the
heat. Couch. Yeah, I did a joke, and oh well, it's still laying on the floor over here. It's all right. I'll pick it up later and take it when I leave.
All right.
33. Two of my all-time favorite Chicago athletes.
What is that? Who are these guys?
Chicago Blackhawk captain Dirk Graham.
Okay.
And
Jay just shook his head.
He won't shake it at this next one.
Okay.
And Bears cornerback, Peanut Tillman.
Oh, yeah, he's 33, huh?
Yes, he is.
All right, well, what do you think we have
Pro
today?
Bowler.
Pro bowler.
What do we think we have
today? He's a professional bowler? Wow.
And horseshoes and what is that, Walter Ray?
Walter Ray Williams III or whatever.
He does it all, yeah.
Yeah, that guy's great. One of my favorite pro athletes. Like the well-rounded guy.
Like the Jim Thorpe of the late 20th century.
Exactly. Yeah.
So do you guys have any predictions for what we're going to get?
Jay, what do you want?
You know, I don't do a lot of predicting, but I would like Crazy Nights. Still one of my favorite jams by Kiss.
Oh my God, really? Did we go over this before? I feel like I'm just hearing this now. One of your favorite.
It is one of my favorite
songs,
I am aware that it's not one of your least favorites, but it is a song that I do very much enjoy. It's on my running list. So sorry,
interesting.
Chris.
Interesting.
I think it's three against one when it comes to the song "Crazy Nights."
Oh, absolutely.
In this room,
yeah.
Chris's
opinion on that song is simply unexplainable.
The Jones family wrestling matches would often break out to "Crazy Nights." Yeah. My mom went downstairs to do laundry.
That probably has something to do with it.
All three of us had that as our entrance song.
You didn't know which guy was coming out.
We all came out
and just started fighting each other. Yeah. What about you, Chris? What are you hoping for since you're not a Crazy Nights fan?
Gonna stick with Dynasty. We need something off of there. I heard one of the deeper cuts off the album came off on shuffle for me at work last week, and I enjoyed it thoroughly.
Do you remember which one it was?
Yeah, I'm not gonna mention it.
Okay,
though. Then
don't.
Or in Australia, as they call it, Dynasty.
What is that from?
Paul says that in an interview. Yeah.
Okay. I'm hoping for. Let's see. I was gonna say. Something from the first album. How about that?
That would be good.
Yeah, I'd like that.
Because haven't we only had Strutter? That's the only
yes,
one?
Yes, we have.
Yeah, that'd
be cool.
It. Well, Nick, do you have your whatever Kiss piece of merchandise?
I do, and we are like waist deep in the Christmas shopping mayhem right now. So I have something that should remind some of our listeners of Christmas and their youths. We all remember the He-Man action figures, I'm guessing. We had a lot of them. We had a pretty good amount of them growing up. There was one in particular that I have a Kiss variation of a He-Man type of toy. And the He-Man toy, I'm going to go into it, is called Man-E-Faces. I have it on here. You guys remember that one?
Oh, his head spins
around.
His
head spins. He's got three different faces.
I thought you said feces.
That would be me after that Arby's I had.
Yeah, Jesus, man. So Andy might not make it through this episode.
So I have another prototype figure, very rare. Okay. Never came out. It's very similar in the theory as to how you can play with this toy.
Yeah.
Except for three faces, it has four.
Okay.
And it's called the Creatures of the Night interchangeable lead guitar player. It's just a body holding a guitar, and it starts off with Ace's makeup, and you can turn it, and you have Vinny without the makeup,
real?
And then you turn it, and then you have Bruce Kulick, and then you turn it, and then you have Bob Kulick.
Wow. Are those all people who had something?
Well, Ace's face was on the original cover, and he was in the I Love It Loud video. Didn't play on the album.
Yep.
Vinny co-wrote and played on the album.
Okay.
Bruce did not play on the album, but was on a later version of the cover without makeup.
Okay.
And we found out from Bob personally that he recorded some guitar parts for it, but didn't use them. So, Chris has been saying that I've been inadvertently making these prophetic predictions of the songs, and so I'm bringing my Creatures of the Night era toy here.
That's the purpose, because you want one of
those
songs.
So I'm trying to force the hand of, fate here, because I want Creatures. It's such a dominant rock album.
All right, well, you ready? How does this thing tell us what
it did. Look it. Okay.
All right.
This one comes off.
Psycho Circus.
It's called
We Are One. Well, that didn't work.
Not at all. Psycho Circus, did we do anything from that
No,
yet?
I was just about to say, I was going to say before I just said Dynasty would been like, preference would been to have a song off an album we haven't done yet, and so we have one here. I am completely unfamiliar with this album except for the title cut, so, this will be a new thing for me.
Was this
1998?
Okay, so this is the album they put out after they reunited with the original members, and this was the first. Well, they did their tour, their reunion tour. Then they had to find another reason to continue touring.
And so it all climaxed with the terrible Dreamcast video game.
Well, yeah, I was going to get
to that. I got two free Psycho Circus CDs. I pre-ordered the game. They gave me one. I went to pick up the game. They gave me another one.
Didn't that one girl that went to our high school work there?
Yeah, Bob's friend, actually.
Yeah. Okay, she hooked you up.
She
liked your sideburns. She wanted to give you a free CD.
Maybe.
Hey, why
give
not?
Her a sideburn ride.
Oh, boy. So, I don't remember which. I guess we'll just find out which. Chris is still laughing.
Apparently sideburn Ryan does it for Chris.
I'm just picturing how that would work. It's fucking hilarious. Especially on picturing it on Nick's head. It makes it all the better.
I was trying to think of who sings this song, but I don't remember.
This is a Gene song.
It's a Gene
song. I'm not going to go into my opinion of this song.
It's
I'm
a Gino, really huh? Okay.
Yes.
So
I don't know if he is. I don't think he's the sole writer of it. But he might.
Is he the singer?
He's the singer, and I think probably the main songwriter, if I'm not mistaken.
We Are One. What's the general theme? Is this another one of his fist-pumping arena rock anthems? Is that the type of thing?
You might hope that.
And I think the okay. maybe the...
But I won't get into it.
Maybe the message of it is that the band and the crowd are one. And I think, isn't that a lyric in the song Psycho Circus? We are one.
Yeah.
That must have just been something they were saying a lot then.
It brings in the money.
Well, yeah. Then you're
to say that we're a family with the fans.
And you guys' beloved Crazy, Crazy Nights is the same theme, isn't it? We're a million strong.
Yeah.
These are my people.
That's
all this
true.
Crap.
Yeah.
But that song is good. So it works.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, 98, I know Jay wasn't really into Kiss at that point anymore.
He was deep into the Biscuit.
Yeah, that was...
That might have been pre-Biscuit. No, maybe. No way, man.
98? That was apex
99 was
of Biscuit.
Oh, you're right.
Corn. Yeah, because I went to Woodstock that following year, and that was pretty much 98, 99, 2000.
How many chicks did you rape?
No, you know what?
During the fire?
The only thing I... rape worthy, I was worried about my buddy Jim. His shorts were about 4 inches long, and...
that was not the look back then.
They were pasty. Legs and freckles and sunburn.
Balls hanging.
Oh, disaster. But he just came along to hang out. But back to...
With four-inch shorts, he probably was.
Well, he's Irish. Back to...
okay. So he wasn't?
The He-Man. Didn't Andy have a He-Man hairstyle when he was a kid? That similar bang look.
With like a flat bang.
Unfortunately, I did, I think. No, that was me, I'm pretty sure.
Nick.
Our parents, for whatever reason, decided I should look like that.
So you were at Woodstock 99 when all that chaos
Yeah,
broke
you
out?
Know what? We were
That's
there.
That's pretty cool,
it
actually.
It was cool. It was hot. It was a good experience to have been there, but if you ask me to redo that, never again.
Did you bolt before the final arson broke out?
Well,
the Chili Peppers
we were thing? There when the Chili Peppers were playing. You saw the fires, but we were pretty much heading on our way out of there while that was going on. But yeah, we were still there.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
I knew it was going to be
feather
bad.
In your cap.
Well, or? I got a lot of them.
Yeah, like Dropkick Murphys,
hey, Fenway Park.
Show came up on Palladius. I sat there and watched. I'm like, what is there to like about this?
Great show. Great show. My friend turned gothic for a night that show, but that's for a different episode.
I don't know what that
means. No, you don't want to. I knew Woodstock was going to be interesting when
a
first
lot of short cocks at that show.
Yeah, there was.
Lots of innies at Fenway Park that night.
At
but
Woodstock.
Yeah, that's anyway. That's a major show, man.
Yeah,
that's
it was big time.
Down.
First performer of the weekend was James Brown, and it was interesting.
Wow.
That was a first for me to see him, and a last. But
give you props for that.
Yeah,
that's
it was
pretty
cool.
Solid, man.
It was cool, man. I enjoyed it.
I nearly went to see James Brown the year before at the Hammock Civic Center.
Oh, that's right.
But but somebody that was going to get me a ticket decided that it might not be the right. Decision for me to go to that show, apparently.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
Who is this racist?
Won't get into names.
So, all right, well, let's get into the Kiss tune.
I wanted to ask Jay the one more question, though, about... I said Psycho Circus came out in 98, and that was after Jay's time. Like, he was kind of over Kiss at that point. We all have our times where we kind of veered away from being Kiss fans, and Jay was over it then. Do you remember this album at all?
No, the only thing I remember is the, I don't know that I know any of the songs. I just remember seeing the CD case and the cover laying everywhere in the in the basement on Wabash. That's it.
Yeah. And Chris, you're the same way, right? You said you only know the song Psycho Circus, but you never had this album. You weren't really listening at this point.
Yeah, not at all. I mean, there was some buzz in the city of Chicago when the first shows came out around the Tiger Stadium and that first tour, but I wasn't really interested.
Well, Nick and I were 15 and 18, so we were all in. We didn't get a chance to really be Kiss fans before then.
We were, we kind of took a break from Kiss for a few years. Like, the Unplugged show kind of was, in my opinion, sort of a comeback.
Okay, yeah.
Because I really wasn't too interested in them at that point. And then the Unplugged show was like, okay, that was really good. And then still, it wasn't something that I was listening to all the time. We were more into like sort of punk ska bands, really.
That was hot at the time.
I guess that was hot.
Mid late 90s.
Yeah.
Had a brief run.
Yeah.
Very brief, but yeah.
And then I remember buying Psycho Circus, and that was kind of a comeback. At that point, kind of thinking like, you know, all right, I'm going to listen to Kiss again, you know.
Well, let's take a time machine back to 1998 and listen to We Are One from Psycho Circus. Okay. Here we go. Chris looks puzzled.
Kind of a kind of flaccid beginning. I mean, is it, what kind of song is this?
It's like that the whole time, I think.
Well, don't ruin it. Let's just listen.
I haven't listened to it in a while. Fair,
that's odd, because I mean, we established it as a fist pumping arena rock.
You speculated,
you know, circle the wagons. Well, you guys confirmed it.
No, Nick said you might think that.
I said you might hope that by the time we listen to it.
Yeah, that's not. We didn't.
Well, what did we start
it.
Talking about crazy, crazy nights and?
I said that the lyrics seem that way.
Well, let's listen to the song now.
Not necessarily the song.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah.
The people at home are like, what happened? Was that the whole song?
Yeah, we might as well just
might
stop
wish it was.
Huh? All right, thanks for listening to episode number 33.
Yeah, maybe we'll find a redeeming quality here. Maybe Gene's going to be in fine voice.
Nick is, you know, when Nick starts dropping this kind of commentary, you know he's not too enthused about it. His passive-aggressive critiques.
Is fair to speculate that this might be a We Are One talking to a specific young lady, and the tone of this song is going to stay soft.
Oh God, I
could see that.
I hope not.
It's
either.
Like a lovemaking song. Good one. It's not necessarily, like Chris said, a fist pumping anthem.
Yeah, that's. I mean,
it's more of a.
This could be on your late Friday night mix.
So what are we talking
this is
about?
A cooch like, pumping anthem.
Is this Gene's version of "Together as One"? Like Paul's passion.
Yeah, boy. I wonder if it's as good as that piece of garbage.
Nobody can match
that pile of throw up from the middle of Paul's album.
Well, we've got 4 minutes and 34 seconds left.
Oh, boy.
So let's get it rolling.
Nick, take it easy with the stops on this one so we can get through it.
I don't know if I'm going to be awake, but midway through it.
Let's hope not, because you see, we stop it every 12 seconds.
I already hate this song. I can't get over my hatred for this song already.
Yeah, it really sucks so
What's
far.
Wrong with it?
Well, Chris said it. It sucks.
I want you to tell me, why do you hate it? Not your kind of music?
It's just this lame strumming of a turned-down electric guitar that you would hear at some kid's first or second guitar lesson.
And the chords don't really lend themselves to anything very exciting happening on top of it.
Hmm. I'll say that one thing redeeming about it is the drum sound so far is pretty good. I mean, we've attacked them for their drum sounds, but the bass drum is nice and full and powerful. And
since you bring that up, let's get into it.
Who's the studio?
I believe it's not Peter Criss.
See, I was going to ask about this. The one thing I am kind of knowing about this album is there was Dynasty-esque chicanery going on with who played on what and who played at all.
I think Ace played on a couple of tracks. Peter played only on one track.
Dirty Living?
No, I mean... On Psycho Circus, he played on Into the Void.
Nick's got the same problem as that Facebook person taking everything literally.
Whatever. Just don't want myself to be misunderstood.
All right. He's definitely talking to a girl.
That last line.
You were a child yesterday.
Yesterday, you just turned to.
Now you're a woman after I gave you a sideburn ride. Believe that magic in your heart would never fade away.
Gene is ruining Christmas right now. This is terrible.
No. Taking you out of the mood?
This is unbelievable.
His vocals are not bad in terms, technically speaking.
His voice is not bad. No, I mean, Gene delivers the goods from that respect, but the song itself is just awful.
I agree totally. But, you know, from a strictly from a technical standpoint, you know, it sounds okay. I mean, I don't understand why he would bother writing a song like this to begin with, or why they would allow it on the album.
They had to have. They must have had a good amount of material to select. I mean, I don't know. Maybe that's why I got two free copies of the CD, because it had songs like this on it.
Not good.
This is awful so far, and we're getting to the chorus.
It's starting to kick in. Maybe it'll swing up in the positive direction. You know what everywhere I go bit, it reminded me of that fucking Third Eye Blind guy, that Stephen Perkins in one of his, you know, half-assed ballads from the same era. You think that's what he was going for?
I'm getting a visual. A lot of times when we're listening to the songs, I'm not getting a visual. I'm getting like an end of the Real World season montage with this song playing on it.
Yeah.
Like people hugging, people kind of,
like,
you know.
Slowed down a
little bit. Just
a slow motion clip of the guy who died from AIDS.
Pedro Zamora thing.
There you go. All right. Well,
and that's actually a good
commentary, but. But yeah, when he said that one lyric, I couldn't think of it right away, and then just as you stopped, it occurred to me. It reminded me of one of, you know, that guy, Stephen Perkins of Third Eye Blind. His whole delivery, which I never liked.
Okay, I'm not really familiar.
Jay, you down with that stuff?
No, you know, I know what you're talking about, and I know the delivery, but when you said the era, I thought you nailed it on the head, because that's kind of where I was leaning with that, too. That just sounds like a late 90s kind of...
Yeah, like a Matchbox 20,
right, the Goo Goo Dolls,
you know, that kind of bullshit, you know, and we've established on this show that, you know, Gene and or Paul or whoever else is pulling the strings has tried to sort of blend in with what's going on. I mean, with the whole Carnival of Souls and whatnot. So I don't know. This seems like another misguided attempt at doing something like that.
This is the definition of album filler, in my opinion.
Track is this on the whole?
It's
disc?
Late, I think. Right, I mean, like
it's just
eight
shoved in the middle.
I'm saying eight. It's been a while, but. And that last lyric is pretty obvious. I'm thinking to most people, I see my face looking back at me with, you know, I'm going to playing the concert, and then you see all the people with the makeup.
See, this is I'm still having this disconnect. Now, are we talking about him banging some underage chick here, or him being a rock star?
We're not sure yet.
Go together.
I'm thinking it's the rock star angle. Personally,
all right. To be honest, I haven't really been paying attention to the lyrics.
The verse lyrics, I can't figure out. It sounds just like very vanilla. Doesn't need to make sense. Just write something that sounds like what I'm going for.
Yeah. All right.
Well, out of 10 songs, 11 if you count the Japanese version.
What was the Japanese extra track?
In Your Face
with Ace. Yeah, the Ace is in your face, right?
Yep.
Is that on our random list?
I
hope so.
I hope
so.
Out of 10, this is the fifth song.
Oh, it's the fifth?
Square in the middle.
I think you were thinking of Journey of a Thousand Years.
That's another piece of garbage.
That's the 10th one.
No bones about that either. That's better than this, though. Is it? Yeah, it's slightly.
Well, let's get through it.
This might be a controversial show. There might be someone out there who likes this.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And we're just... No, you know, no two ways about it. We all are just saying this is awful.
I have to give them credit where credit's due. I think it sounds good. I just don't like
it. No, the sound is great. I mean, it sounds, again, my experience with this album is I've never actually heard it. I've heard Psycho Circus on, like, the radio, so you can't really gauge the production of it. But, yeah, we're not getting that just blown out low end, the volume wars symptoms that we've talked about a lot of times over here. And yeah, I mean, sonically it sounds good. Gene's vocally is great, but the content is shit. So
agreed. Chris, you have any that last line? Does that where do you still think it's about about groupies, or you think it's about the fans, or what?
You know what? I'm completely blanking out on the lyrics, to be honest with you.
What did he say? What was the last?
Chris
line?
Is thumbing around his phone, looking at football scores, so you can see where his head's at.
I am getting indications that Romo is imploding. to speak, so. But anyway,
it said, "Everything I know, what I know is true. Every one of us is inside of you."
Okay, great. I just don't understand how this is going to get an arena full of people foaming at the mouth.
I can't imagine they played this ever.
No, yeah, fuck no. So. When are they going to play this? No,
they only played what, three songs off of the album? Right?
Yeah.
Three of the better ones, really.
The only three. Well, yeah, three of the better ones is fair.
Yeah, definitely.
Nick snickering.
I just can't believe this.
What part of it? What's the problem? What made you snicker?
Just everything.
Yeah, this is just
the words.
Just the lyrics. Yeah, the whole thing is so stupid.
It's childish. It's dumb.
Yeah.
You don't think there's anything clever going on?
Any of our listeners whose opinions I respect. I definitely, the people bring up really good points, good counterpoints to the stuff we say. I defy any of them to say there's anything good about this song, aside from maybe how Chris was saying sonically, you know, the production is nice.
Yeah, but this is cool.
Like Chris stole from Andy and said it.
But,
okay.
You know, this is their comeback album with the original lineup. They've come off a successful tour. Presumably their set list was loaded up with rock and roll, and they come out with this crap. I mean, this is like, This sounds like something off The Elder, which is not what you should be gunning for.
Having never heard this album, maybe Nick or Andy could help me and Chris out with this one. First four songs on the album, are we looking at rockers? Are we a little heavier, a little faster?
Yes.
What's the third? What's the third and fourth? Is Raise Your... No, Into the Void is four?
Yeah, I pledge allegiance to the
state
of rock and roll.
So we got four ripping rockers, basically.
Jay's right.
Well, the second one is pretty ripping. It's slower, but it's still great, heavy stuff. Yeah, the first four, and then we have this. Unfortunately,
yeah, this is, I don't understand this at all.
so this sounds like your typical placement of a slow the album down for a second song.
Yeah, but why
right
do you
the
feel
middle.
The need to do that? They but don't need to do that.
I agree 100%, but it seems to be quite often on a lot
I mean,
of
what
albums.
What is this, an eighth grade dance, you know, where you got get
this
the
is
slow
a
dance
or song
or someone yeah. went, you know, where you can feel up the chick of your dreams in the gymnasium floor? I mean, what, we don't need this.
And what's number 6? Is it Raise Your Glasses? Because I'm thinking in terms of vinyl here.
You'd
put this absolute pile of refuse at the end of side A, and then you'd have, you know, you wanted the best as a pretty good rocker. Yeah. So you'd start side B off with it. But I don't know. Personally, I would think they probably had so much money, so many people working on this album. Why they would put a song like this? And this is and this is not the only song of this type of quality here, and we won't get too far into it because obviously we're going to do all the rest of the songs on the show, but this is not the only one that we'll probably be saying these things about.
Yeah. I'm reading what Gene Simmons had to say about this song in the Kiss Behind the Mask book that we reference every week pretty much, and this is the middle of the paragraph. I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's too long, but this just goes to show you where he's coming from when he wrote this.
The bathroom.
I had visions of the Coca-Cola commercial and all these people from
the polar
different
bears.
all these people from different races singing.
Oh, for Christ.
Everywhere
sake.
I go, everyone I see my face looking back at me.
Oh,
you are
God.
Me, I am you kind of notion.
This is an example of why so many people hate Gene Simmons.
Just delusional.
Because he does something so ridiculous like this.
Delusional.
And people roll their eyes until their head starts hurting. And then it's all Gene's fault.
And another thing, the producer, who is, what is this guy's name, Bruce Fairbairn?
Yeah, he passed away, I believe.
Yeah. Well,
because they mentioned that.
I'm going to pick something out of the middle of this, too. It says, I told him, I'd like to see a different side of the demon. You're always doing this kind of stuff, imitates demonic sound. But what if you took a chance and gave Kiss fans a little bit of a glimpse of those other types of songs you write as well?
God rest his soul, but that's stupid because the demon just came back, what, in 90, what was it, when was Revenge, 91, 92, 92? He just came back 6 years earlier.
And now already you're
which
saying,
is a,
let's see a different
which is a drop in the bucket in their career as far as a chunk of time.
Right.
Yeah, that's an example of bad producer input.
Yeah.
Of course, he by that time he was entrenched in the comeback of Aerosmith, so they always had those stupid ballads on their albums.
So why do you think, okay, Kiss gets back together, the first album should have been Sonic Boom, more or less, right?
Yeah.
Why was it this?
Because the producer.
You think it's the producer?
That's what they say in the book.
Yeah?
Yeah. That yeah. He says that
makes sense.
So they're pinning it on one guy?
Paul Stanley pinned it on him.
Well, Paul, I love Paul when he talks about this album. He's like, my stuff was great. I don't know about what all the other stuff.
And he said that.
But Paul's not responsible for only great things on this album. But I don't want to foreshadow too much of the songs that I hate on this album.
I'm going to paraphrase without looking at the book because I don't remember. But I remember when I read about this that he basically said the producer was like enamored with Gene and like loved him and just wanted to hang around with him and like be buddies with him and him think he was cool. So every Gene idea, he was like, yeah, that's awesome. And then the Paul ideas was like, eh.
There's only one significant Gene song on this album.
And honestly, you said it's a good one.
I love it personally. Yeah.
It's not my favorite, but yeah, I understand it's good.
But
it's,
this is a Paul album. Definitely.
Yeah, I guess so.
I mean, if you listen to like, you know, we were talking about like Sonic Boom and Monster. It's like, well, it's kind of split. It's hard to tell. Some people might say it's a stronger Gene album, but Psycho Circus, I don't think you can deny that it's a stronger Paul album than Gene, definitely.
Stronger,
I mean, look at the songs.
But it is the same amount of songs.
Yeah, but I mean, as far as the material, you come away with, you know, it's like Creatures. You listen to Creatures and you're going to come away thinking that's Gene kind of won that one. You know, that's the way that this is.
So you think Paul won this one?
Paul, yeah, absolutely.
Well, maybe Paul Stanley thought he had 10 great songs and they only used 4. Maybe
yeah, well, he wrote one pile of garbage.
Which one are you talking about?
I don't want to say.
Can we get through this thing, please?
Well, we're trying to do anything to not listen to this song.
We have to get through.
I'm so upset. Yo, just play it, I guess.
Let's just play
it. I might not be here when we stop it.
All right. Don't always laugh when you want to cry, and then you know it deep inside.
The hand claps.
You don't like that?
No, of course not. It's cheesy.
Well, it fits perfectly with the material.
Yeah, but I guess so. Let it roll.
But it's stupid. Honestly, the amount of claps there, that would be about the amount of people clapping at a show.
If they this song? This.
Yeah. Sounds about like 4 or 5 people.
Perfect. Yeah.
Yeah, this is
so
terrible.
They nailed that aesthetically.
I just picture Chris's face.
I think we have to drive Chris to the hospital.
Yeah.
I'm trying to process it, really. I'm trying to understand what's going on.
It's completely mind-numbed, Chris.
Yeah, I just don't get it. I don't understand. Again, the only thing I can go back to is they were trying to cop that Matchbox 20, Third Eye Blind, white guy, sensitive guy stuff, which is I don't get that, you know?
The melody here is very, very close, not exactly, but almost exactly the same as part of Under Pressure by Queen and David Bowie.
Which part is there?
This is our love.
Oh, okay.
That part.
Yeah,
I mean, which I like that song. It's not my favorite by any means, but
you like it more than this?
Well, I mean, come on.
Please.
I mean, I would almost want to listen to Got Love for Sale if I knew this was going to be the song.
Good one, Nick.
Thank God that's not true.
I had no idea that there was crap of this magnitude on this album. Jeez, this is terrible.
It's really
terrible.
It's really like a 50-50 album. Maybe a 60-40.
Yeah, and I thought that it might be, but, you know, we brought up Got Love for Sale. You hate it, Nick, but you can at least acknowledge that it's a rocker.
Oh, I mean,
this is a joke. This
God
is
Love
bullshit.
For Got Love for Sale.
This is not what you want from Kiss.
As far
this
as
is
the
bullshit. Why is it bullshit?
This is not what you want from Kiss, especially on a what's supposed to be a triumphant comeback. The original lineup. This is stupid.
I agree with Chris about the bullshit. I don't necessarily think Kiss needs to be the band to try to deliver this message of unity throughout the world. I think it's pretty asinine as well. And I'm trying to process a song as if it were an instrumental just to see if it was catchy enough. I'm having a hard time with that as well.
No, there's no power to it. There's nothing.
Lyrically, it stinks. Musically,
it stinks.
It stinks. I mean, I don't have a joke for that one. I'm just going to tell you
it stinks.
And
again, the last, you think about their last studio effort, which was Revenge. I'm not going to count Carnival of Souls. I still consider that to have been a demo that should have stayed in the studio.
I'm going
to
agree with Chris.
But, you know, aside from Every Time I Look at You or whatever that thing is on there, I mean, that Revenge is fucking balls to the wall, kick-ass rock and roll, and you would think they would up their game with the original lineup.
I think my theory is that they're being too careful, and then they made mistakes, obviously, because of that, because I think if they would have said...
What did Gene talk to your dad before they recorded this? Be careful.
That's funny.
But that's...
I mean, this is terrible.
That's what it's...
Careful is like a polite term
for
this shit.
I'm just saying that was... and based on the fact that they wouldn't let Ace and Peter play practically on anything, they each got to sing a track.
See, that's like... See, that makes sense then. It's just more weak sauce shenanigans from Gene and Paul with regard to the original foursome. You know?
Yeah. I mean, and who knows? I don't know what state Ace and Peter were in, but they were great.
California.
On, I think they were great on the tour. You know, I don't know.
Oh, I saw them on the farewell tour, and I don't know. They were both great.
Yeah, so I saw them on this tour. On. Me and Andy, the first time we saw Kiss was the 3D Psycho Circus tour.
Yeah,
and they were great. And it was like a little strange almost because they were playing other era stuff, sort of. They did Lick It Up and
right.
Heaven's on Fire, maybe?
I think Heaven's on Fire.
Yeah.
And I Love It Loud.
Yeah, I Love It Loud. They nailed it. He's trying to spread a small square of butter on an entire Italian loaf.
Well, this is
awful. It should have stopped already.
Yeah, we're stopping it in the middle.
Unless Andy's playing a joke.
Fragments.
This is a song I wrote. And
no, no, I'm just saying unless Andy did some sort of edit.
Made it longer.
To make
mean?
It longer no. and more painful. I wouldn't have noticed where
yeah,
the
that's
edit
another
was.
Thing. That's That'd another indication of a poor producer. If you want this, if your intention was this to be a fucking hit single, cut it down from 420 to whatever it is to trim this shit down to under 3 minutes.
Yeah, it's like almost five. I think it's
441. That's outrageous.
I mean, listen to
unbelievable.
Chris said Revenge. Listen to Revenge. They don't do that.
Yeah.
They don't drag out anything. The only the headphones were cutting for a second.
What were you saying?
Revenge, everything is there for a purpose.
Yeah.
And in this case, yeah, I think
there's no reason for this thing to be 4 minutes and 40 some seconds.
Nothing
long.
New has been brought to the table
and
in about 2 minutes.
Again, that's poor production. You know, this Bruce Fairbairn, renowned producer, great sound, hit making guy. Like you said, man, he got starstruck by Gene or whatever and just lost his fucking way with this. I mean, sounds to me like he didn't do his job. I mean, in terms of anything other than turning knobs and setting up mics where they should have been getting a good sound, but everything else, he blew it. Everything I know, what I know is true. Every one of us lives inside of you.
Oh, shut up already.
Yeah, Jesus.
Enough.
Let it play out, bro. Let it play out.
The fuck do they think they are? What is this? Oh, my God. Terrible. Horrible. Just horrible. Wow, that's terrible.
Was that the worst song we've heard so far?
You know, I can't say that just because sonically it was okay. I mean, I don't think it's...
Song-wise? The feeling that it delivered to you.
I'd have to say that Carnival Souls tune was worse.
No, that song I think was better than this.
No,
that was your least favorite?
I'd have to say so, yeah. It was
wow.
It's not good. I mean, this I give it a nod just because it wasn't painful to listen to from just sheer sonic standpoint, but the content was just pure crap.
What about What Makes the World Go Round?
I didn't mind that. We were all that was the last time Jay was in.
That
we were all nodding our heads. It
that
made
got
us
some
move.
Hallelujahs, right?
Well, what about While the City Sleeps?
I don't even remember that one.
You know, that was like three. That was four episodes ago. Three episodes.
I can't even remember how that one went.
Yeah, that one was rough.
Or Gimme More, or one of those others.
I don't know. I guess
that was faster.
Yeah, I guess I'm lumping it in with Gene's more introspective, sensitive songs, which I don't want to hear that shit. And this is talk about another song that's just a complete disconnect with Kiss and makeup and their characters. It's like picturing them in their, you know, lizard boots and the God of Thunder singing this shit.
And it's interesting that there's a lyric that says, like, every one of us is inside of you, kind of, you know, the four original members. They don't even play on this song.
Yeah, you're right.
Well, I mean, the real fan that knows that, they're going to, you know, it's just going to make them even madder.
Disingenuous.
Like, it makes me angry.
Yeah. Well, they probably didn't want any, didn't expect people to know that.
Exasperating.
Yeah.
Just pulling their shenanigans again.
Chris is calling the shenanigans. So, me and Andy know this album pretty well. Jay and Chris, would you know the title track and this now. If you were desperate to buy an album and you saw this and it was fairly reasonably priced, would you get it based off of what you just heard? And the title track?
No.
There you have it.
You know, I might take a flyer on it. Again, I keep going back to the production. I mean, we've heard some dicey production from this band throughout their career, and we've also... You know, we've been pretty heavy on their more recent output, which, as we've talked about, is sort of fatiguing to listen to with all the distortion and the brick wall mastering and all this shit that goes on. I mean, this is actually a nice sounding cut, you know, and you said that this thing leads off with four heavier rockers. You know, I'd be down with taking a flyer on it. I kind of like Psycho Circus, the song. I'm not super familiar with it, but I don't dislike that song. This song is pure shit, of course, but at least it sounds good.
Should we go around the horn here? Do the formality?
Yeah.
Yeah, oh yeah, straight to hell for me.
Yeah, I would say this definitely is banished, in my opinion. Jay?
Hell.
I'm going to go ahead and give it a hallelujah. Yeah, I think it has some redeeming qualities.
You're not serious.
You know, I like the message. Yeah, I can get behind
it. Up. Get out of here.
I like that he's saying I should hold on to my dreams and all
How
that.
How far That's are you going to take this?
Nah, I don't like it. It's a hell, so it's four.
Once again, we usually throw out something for people to throw back at us on the Facebook comments. If you can honestly say that you like, you know, that you would give this a hallelujah, please just make yourself known here and explain it to us.
I'll give you my explanation right now. If there was if I never heard music before, I would give this a hallelujah.
Because everything's in tune or what?
It sounds nice. He's saying something nice. But when you've heard stuff that sounds just like this and the message, it's not a bad message. You've just heard it a million times.
You're the control group in this experiment?
Yeah. If I was like some tribesman who only heard beating on drums.
So if you were the family in the Gods Must Be Crazy and you heard this song,
exactly.
Then you'd be like, yeah, yeah.
I feel like this is great.
The Mandela sign language guy.
He would be into this.
This is the Mandela sign language guy of Kiss
basically
songs.
Basically what he was signing was the lyrics to this song during the Mandela ceremony.
Chris always figures out a way to squeeze
very topical
events,
but that's another thing. I mean, how the hell does that happen? I mean,
that's one of the best news stories of the year,
really. Seriously, man, just amazing how that happens. So
well, I'm going to read you guys a couple notes on this album.
And then we'll put this behind us.
Yeah, but I want you to tell me, you know, just your thoughts. React to
That's
what
the
I'm
last
telling
time
you.
I'll ever listen to this song. You realize that?
It's kind of depressing.
Ever. You're ever. Putting... No, I'm glad.
All right. Well, then that's good.
Get it over with. And it's good that we got it over with early in the series.
True.
So.
All right. Well, I'm going
to get it out.
I'm going to read you some things that the producer of Psycho Circus, Bruce Fairbairn, had to say.
And when did he die? During the creation of this album?
No,
during this song.
when during playback maybe of the album? I don't know. I don't know. I think he got cancer a couple years after, but I could be wrong. Okay. I'm sure we have a couple of listeners out there that will be quick to correct us on that.
Well, I don't feel like
but
looking
Yeah, we don't feel like it.
So, first thing. up until the point I started working with the band, I was a passive Kiss fan. Is that a bad thing for your producer to be a passive Kiss fan?
I don't know. It's kind of like Mark St. John coming into the band. Oh, I was never into them. I never listened to how that went down.
You know?
It's, I don't know. I mean, well, there's something to be said for it, but
I guess there's an experiment. There's an excitement in experimenting. Like, okay, well, this guy's not a fan of ours, but we're still going to be the same guys, and he'll bring something new to the table,
but this was not the time to experiment.
Right.
Do you really want to bring something new to the table when this is your triumphant return?
I mean, you want Love Gun Part 2, basically.
Exactly. You want fucking straight-ahead rockers. All rockers all the time.
Okay. Gene and Paul took a great attitude. They said, this is your record. You can hang yourself with it, or you can make a great record.
Terrible advice.
That's a stupid idea.
You think that was a mistake?
No.
Big mistake.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
It almost sounds like they didn't
care. Why would they wash their hands before it was made?
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like to me. Like, hey, well, I don't care.
All right.
Don't blame me.
You know, if it sucks, we're going to blame the producer. If it's awesome, we're going to say, well, we made the right choice.
That's not very Gene and Paul, you know. Usually it's like, we're in control. Oh, okay, Elder, we messed up, you know. That's not very Paul and Gene.
Not liking any of this.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. What else did I want to read to you? Okay, it said Gene had 3 or 4 cassette tapes of tunes. Paul, on the other hand, only had a few snippets of ideas. Paul is a pressure writer. Well, I guess we're not talking about Paul. But then there's another thing that says it's from Ace further down. And he says, Gene told me that he submitted 100 songs for Psycho Circus and they used 4. To me, that's insanity. Do you believe that he wrote 100
songs?
And
doesn't he expand on that or no? Isn't there a part where he says to me that, or maybe it's a different quote in the book, he says,
no, I think
that tells me that Gene Simmons can't tell the difference between a good song and a bad song.
Exactly.
Which I think that's right on the head. I mean, you can get up and grab the guitar and play a few chords and sing some sort of melody, you know, and say, okay, that's one song.
Yeah.
But if you're not... if you're not the first line of defense as far as, you know, the quality of it, then, you know, you're just throwing out whatever and letting somebody else pick. And it's
a guy who's just a passive fan.
Yeah. He's going to pick what he likes, but he might not know what the Kiss fans want to hear.
Right.
Not to cut you two nitwits off, but how bad were the other 96 songs then?
Yeah, you're right. If they only used 100,
that was the fourth one picked. I mean, my God.
Who can even can't even comprehend how lousy the rest
was. Wasn't there a box set that he was talking about coming out with that was like emptying out his vault a few years ago?
I hadn't heard that.
There's like a joke, me and one of my friends, once in a while that'll come up in conversation.
How Andy empties his vault a little later from that Arby's he ate just before I picked him up here tonight. Gonna fucking blast out whatever that. What'd you have? I had
an Angus Philly.
Oh Jesus, man! I hope the wind isn't blowing in my house's direction tonight. Smelling that
frozen wind, it's gonna just be hanging over your house.
Jesus,
and he's gonna be running by later.
Yeah, yeah. When I
dime
I run down
bags
the street.
falling from the sky.
One more thing before we get off this book. Even though we didn't really discuss it that much regarding this song, but it says the reason Ace and Peter didn't play much on the Psycho Circus album is because of a decision Bruce made, the producer Bruce. Gene and Paul wanted it to be the original band, but when Bruce heard Ace and Peter play in pre-production, he thought to make the kind of record he wanted to make, Ace and Peter wouldn't cut it as players.
See, that's a mistake as well. This is their fucking comeback album.
I mean, the guy has done some legendary recording.
Yeah, what has he done? I don't even. He did Bon Jovi, right?
Yeah. I mean, like, '80s stuff. Yeah, did he do Permanent Vacation? Or am I making that up?
I don't know. I mean, I know he was involved with the comeback.
Didn't he do Shot in the Dark for Ozzy?
Yeah, basically, you're right. But basically, he's all about spit shined.
Yeah.
Just perfect output, whereas, you know, with Kiss, you know, you listen to Paul or Peter and Ace play, you get the character of them. We've talked about it before. It's like, you know, they don't play like studio hot shots, you know. They're not going to give you a perfect take every time, but that's one of the things we like about it is there's some character to the music.
You know what? Let me read some of this guy's credits.
Didn't he produce Bang by Gorky Park?
Honest to God, I thought of that song like a week ago.
You're correct.
And I thought, what a great song that was.
Jay's right.
I am right.
Jay's correct.
Did he do it?
Yeah, he did.
He did the album, right?
Yeah.
The My Generation cover and all that stuff.
Jesus Christ.
he did Gorky Park.
That was a great song.
He did a whole bunch of Loverboy.
One of Andy's favorites.
I actually am a big Loverboy fan.
I like a couple of tracks.
He did a bunch of Aerosmith, a bunch of Bon Jovi. He did
Permanent Vacation, right? Great record.
He did AC/DC Razor's Edge.
Great.
He did Poison, Flesh and Blood.
Get the choir out.
He did AC/DC Live.
Wait, he did AC/DC Live, huh?
Yeah.
Well, he made all the right decisions there, I'll tell you that.
Well, he certainly made the right decision by not jettisoning any of the members of the band because he didn't think they could cut it.
The drummer was different.
But that guy's a session drummer from like the 60s. He knows what he's doing. Yeah, that guy's a legend.
Right, but it's like, you know, Malcolm Young, Cliff Williams, I mean, these guys they're obviously awesome in AC/DC, but, they're not spit shine studio guys. And you certainly, can you imagine Fairburn suggesting to AC/DC that they do a fucking ballad like this? They'd have fucking kicked his ass. I mean, why would you do... I don't understand any of this.
Did Flesh and Blood have Ride the Wind on it?
I don't think so. I think it was before that.
Oh, okay, because I was going to say, if it had Ride the Wind, then he made one good call on that album at least.
Yeah, that's not a bad tune.
It had Ride the Wind.
Oh, okay. Well, Mr. Fairburn, you did that. So
Unskinny Bop, Swamp Juice. I don't know what that is.
Swamp Juice. That's great.
Diet Dew.
Yeah, that's the new name for the Diet Dew.
So, I mean, this guy's produced some absolutely great work.
Of course he has.
Let me bring up a couple more just for fun here, just to get them out. There's Jackal, Push Comes to Shove. Which one is that? That's not the main one, is it?
No,
the first one?
Well, the first one was self-titled, I think.
Let me see what's on
the instant classic Jackal album.
Yeah, I don't know any of this stuff.
That looks like it might be the second album. I could be wrong, though.
Probably. Second album, yeah. You're right. There was something else.
That's probably a decent record. Jackal's pretty good.
It sounded good. You know, he gets a good sound, but...
Van Halen Balance?
Not a fan of the Van Hagar stuff.
Which one's Balance? What's from Balance?
I don't know. Humans Being?
No, it was one of their big ballads.
I never had that album.
It was, I don't know.
Amsterdam?
Probably not.
Oh, that's a terrible Sammy Hagar. Wham, bam, Amsterdam.
That's like his chicken foot lyrics.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Well, it says it was written about the Van Halen brothers' home country.
Yeah, it is.
And that's the lyric they went with.
Wham, bam, Amsterdam is like the fucking chorus.
You can write lyrics like that and be like a zillionaire.
Yeah. I actually don't know any of these songs.
Can't Stop Loving You. I think that was a popular one.
Okay.
All right, and that's another cheese dick ballad. Maybe you don't want to hear from these guys.
Well.
All right, finally, The Cranberries, To the Faithful Departed.
Oh, dear Jesus.
Not a fan.
Despise The Cranberries.
What about Atomic Fireballs? I don't even know who that is.
I have no idea.
He did a Chicago album in 95.
Great.
Hopefully,
what is it?
Chicago? Chicago Night and Day Big Band.
Great.
Well, I mean, if he does the overly produced kind of thing, then doing a Chicago album is right up his alley, yeah.
Hopefully he didn't do that Chicago Christmas album that our mom plays 30 times a year on a loop on Christmas.
Fucking hell on earth.
Didn't Chicago cost you your job, Andy?
No, that was Barry Manilow.
Oh, it was Manilow. I thought Chicago was the one that cost your job.
No, Manilow's way more worth losing your job over, in my opinion.
Yeah, I was working at Applebee's. I was 19 years old.
He was Apple Buddy of the Month.
I was, several times. Didn't we just make that up?
Also received the Golden Apple for April.
Jay worked at Applebee's first. Then he
the
got
Golden
me
Shower in March.
Then he got me a job at Applebee's a little later. And you were already gone at that point when I was gone. Like, we overlapped a little.
Yeah, they relieved me of my duties.
Yeah, this is like 01, 02 maybe. I was working there, and Nick, his wife, our mom, and our aunt,
Yes.
They were going to see Barry Manilow at the Rosemont Theater. I remember it like it was yesterday.
And it was great.
And
I don't care what anybody says. I might get heat for that.
Hey.
Manilow rules.
All right. That's fine.
And if you want a rocker, a nice strutty rocker, listen to Flashy Lady off the first album. If there's anybody anybody out there saying, oh, Manilow's lame, listen to Flashy Lady.
I love the title.
It struts.
I got no issue with Manilow.
There's your homework for the week. But quickly, it was like the day before, and I don't know if someone else was going to go with you or what happened, but I was asked if I wanted to go. There was an extra ticket, so I was like, yeah, sure, I'll go. And it was like one of those stupid things. If anybody who's worked in the restaurant business where you – go ahead, Jay.
You couldn't get Lola to cover your shift that
exactly,
night?
Exactly. You want to do a trade of shifts.
Yeah, yeah.
And you verbally make this – shift trade with someone.
Yeah,
it's honor system at that point, right?
But at those kinds of restaurants, that doesn't work. You have to get it signed by a manager in a stupid book. And it was one of those things where I was like, hey, could you sign this? Like, oh, we're busy now. Oh, we'll do it later. We'll sign it. I'm like, all right, whatever. And then I never got them to sign it, even though it was written in the book, not signed.
Right.
The other person didn't show up the next day. They call me when we're about to leave to go see Barry Manilow. And they say, where are you at? I said, well, are you coming? I said, no, I switched. Like, well, you didn't get it signed. Well, I'm not coming. Well, then don't come back. All right, then I won't.
Did you tell them before you hung up, I'm going to see Barry Manilow?
I'm sure I did. I'm going to a Barry Manilow concert.
You know, that reminds me of I'll do it real quick. There's a story. Me and one of my friends, we talk about it. We have a mutual friend who, I mean, well into adulthood, was at work one day, and the boss tried to corner him and say, hey, can you come in on Saturday? And the guy right away goes, no, I'm going to Great America. I just thought that was one of the greatest things ever.
Was it true?
I think it was. But just to say that, like, if you're 18 and it's like a summer job, oh, man, you know, me and my buddy, you know. But if you're like 26, 27, you say, I'm going to Great America.
That's a great excuse
that
to
is
have
great.
In your back pocket yeah. whenever you need it. That's funny. You can't tell. I already bought the tickets. I'm going to Great America.
They already drank the Cokes, submitted the cans.
Yeah.
Got the discount.
Got your discount tickets.
So, to clarify, four hells, right?
Yeah, four hells.
Yeah, Andy's not trolling the audience this week.
I was trolling Chris for a minute just to see what I could get out of him.
He was not enjoying himself over here.
No. The combination of me saying that with the Diet Doohy drink almost put him into cardiac arrest. Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
I was going to say we should jump into some current event Kiss talk.
Let's
whenever
do
something
it.
Comes up, we like to discuss it on the show. There's not always something worth discussing, but this week we think there is.
A continuing saga, it seems like.
Well, this
we thought it was over and done with.
This just happened yesterday. As we're
the plot is
here,
thickening so. On this story.
Yeah, because this is Sunday. So what?
Well,
what
Jay,
happened
I think Jay knows more about it than we do. Jay.
Yeah, I was reading Yahoo and. Ace was trending, and I think he was like sixth, and I clicked. I didn't know, you know, that he died or what. I don't know what he was doing trending.
Isn't that a funny thing whenever you see the trending people? If it's, you always think like if it's someone out of the blue, you're like, oh, they died.
Yeah,
I saw if they died.
I think Peter O'Toole died.
Yeah.
Yeah, today, but that's a different,
terrific.
81.
In, Club Paradise.
Don't know what that is.
So, yeah, I mean, all I know on the Ace story, no one was home, plumes of smoke coming out. This is a direct quote from the fire chief. And then, I read that there was, I think, over 2 years of mortgage due and bills and other liens on the house. And it sounds like, obviously we're not paying our bills and taking care of our property the way it should have been, and then I saw another one with a heading that said suspicious. So
ooh.
Yeah, that
well
you always think suspicious. Sure,
this isn't a politically correct phrase, but I apologize to Chris ahead of time, but that sounds like a little Greek lightning to me.
Hey man, I know what it's like. I know exactly what you mean. And hey, that's that shit like that. The sayings like that come out of. It's rooted in truth.
Well,
anytime you see a short order diner go up, you know what's going on.
Well, this seems too obvious.
Greek
lightning. This seems too obvious. It's like, okay, it's been in the news that, you know, oh, the house is in foreclosure and there's all kinds of financial trouble. And then it burns down.
It doesn't.
I mean, you know, that's
obviousness doesn't stop someone in a desperate state.
But it definitely would bring on extra layers of investigation, I would think,
well,
after it happens.
Obviously it will, but desperate people don't consider that shit when they're doing it.
So what are we speculating? That he had, quote-unquote, some guy to take care of this for him?
He's got a guy who takes
care
of him.
He's got an arsonist
on staff.
His lightning bolt from his guitar hit his, what is it, a tree, and then it landed on power lines? Is that what the... Fire chief said,
"Is that saying. Really
lightning made a tree branch fall on?"
Yeah, so
lines.
I mean, Ace might be exonerated here, but you can't deny, you know, even though we got some guy on our Facebook page getting up in my grill about this, you know, it's like you can't deny the suspiciousness of the circumstances. I mean, happens all the time.
It sounds like, yeah, I mean, it definitely sounds like it could very well be intentional, I guess, is what we're saying.
Anyway, I hope Ace is exonerated because this is serious business.
I think he goes to jail. I didn't even consider that till just now.
Well, it would be his guy that takes care of things, probably. Yeah,
but if he also had something to do with it, he could be.
Well, I mean, you don't think his guy would fucking crumble on the stand?
Yeah, what kind of guys do you think he knows?
You don't think they'd cut him a break? You don't think the prosecutor would rather lock up Ace Frehley than his guy? I mean, come on. You know how this shit works,
right? But you know, every once in a while you do hit the lucky lottery. Do you think there's a possibility that that's what happened here, that like his house has gone down the tubes?
Officially, I'm gonna say I hope that's
he at least paid his fucking insurance premiums, because
I hope the guy did.
If he didn't do that, then he's SOL completely.
I mean, I hope the guy paid that bill at least.
His house is a pile of ash and he still owes the money.
That would be the worst.
Yeah, that would be in real trouble then. But obviously, if they determine that he had some sort of role in it, he's in big trouble. But no, it's appearing that it's not that way. So,
well, and we hope not, of course.
Of course.
Because he's working on an album. I'd rather see him come out with a great album than go to jail.
Sure.
Well, I think everybody would. But, you know, you just can't, you know, you can't discount the suspiciousness of the circumstances. I mean, come on.
Now, I have a quick insurance question. I don't know if anyone knows the answer to, but let's just throw out some numbers. Excuse me, some numbers here. So let's say his house is insured for like $500,000. We'll just throw that out there. And it burns down to the ground, which I don't even know if it did. But
I don't think it's like the compound in Waco or anything at this point. But
well, theoretically, go with me here. Say it's ashes, right? And he has a $500,000 insurance policy. Could you take that money and build like a $50,000 house and then just walk away with $450,000 cash?
Well, first of all, what's going to happen is the bank who he's in foreclosure on is going to want their fucking cut, basically.
Well, that's what I mean. Could he pay them off with that money?
An insurance company is not going to write a check, pay to the order of Ace Frehley, knowing that he's in foreclosure. There's maneuvering there.
Well,
it just doesn't happen that way.
Well, I'm going through a similar situation here at Throat Donut Studios with the roof.
Yeah,
and I was going to say, the check they wrote me had to be stamped by Chase Bank, and it's like it's a situation where you get half of the money up front, or I think I could have just kept it and not done anything, and then you get the other half upon them reviewing that you
obviously
did the work.
Right, so they're not just going to cut a check, pay to the order of Paul Frehley $500,000, giving the public knowledge of his situation. I mean, it's just not how it works.
So that being said, maybe there is no incentive to try to burn it down, and maybe it is just a circumstance that
makes
him
could get
him
out from under if he's insured proper for enough what the value is, get him off his back. I mean, nobody wants to be on foreclosure. If he can't pay the money, he's going to end up having to declare bankruptcy, and nobody wants that if you can avoid it. If you're insured and you've got enough, you've had some equity in the house, and we don't know what the value of it is, but if you get the insurance settlement and it can get you out from under that foreclosure, then fuck yeah, you're going to do it.
Makes sense. Just for the record, when I said there's a similar situation, it wasn't a foreclosure thing here. It was I had roof damage with insurance.
I wasn't aware you had a guy.
Yeah, I had a guy who was supposed to take care of the roof when a storm came, and it didn't. Well, yeah, blown off.
Apparently Ace didn't have Edwin DeJesus on his side like you do.
Yeah, plus you're current on your mortgage, I assume. Of course. You know, there's the rules are different for people who are not in peril with their loans on their property.
Yeah.
You know, like Jay said, liens and whatnot. If you're in foreclosure, you don't dictate what happens to your fucking property. And if he wasn't paying his mortgage and he was doing an escrow, he probably wasn't paying his insurance premiums either. So
he's probably
totally fucked at this point.
Jeez.
So, you know, who knows?
Now, how weird would it be if no insurance was paid and they still arranged for some shady business to burn it down?
Who knows?
And then they realized it later. Oh, wait.
I could see that. It's a bumbling scheme gone wrong.
That'd be a movie.
Yeah.
You were still paying the insurance, right? Well, no. Oh, fuck. Call the fire department.
Yeah, now you can't sell it for anything.
I don't know, man. We'll see what... I mean, more details will come out as time goes.
What leads anybody to believe that he's paying the insurance when nothing else was being paid at this... I mean, unless he
had this plan.
Know?
I mean, most people nowadays, it's all in escrow. It's one payment. Everything gets paid.
Right.
You know, I'm sure he's probably not paid his property taxes either. So, yeah, why would he just pay his insurance and not anything else? He's not that smart.
And if that is the case, that even makes this sound more suspicious. I'm not paying anything else but insurance.
Yeah, that's true. If after that announcement of it, was it in foreclosure? Is that right? Or
yeah,
it was, okay.
He hasn't paid a dime on it in like 2 years.
Well, maybe after that announcement, he started paying the insurance, and now they're trying to do this. And
it's
a fiasco.
How many insurance guys do you have in your brain?
He's dropping all kinds of names.
All the State Farm,
all kinds of plugs for the local insurance people.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, jeez.
Yeah, well.
You think the spaceman's going to go behind bars?
I hope not. Because from what we were just speculating, it sounds entirely too stupid to be
right,
on purpose.
They don't lock you up. You don't get imprisoned for not paying your bills. You're fucked financially. You go into bankruptcy or whatever. You do get locked up for committing insurance fraud that involves arson and destruction of property.
That's what I'm saying.
So yeah, I mean, if you're talking about incarceration, it's much better to just stop paying your bills and just you're
not
fucked.
Not even that bad of a thing to do. I mean, it's bad, but
You can get out of it, and you're just going to, you know, you're going to have to pay cash for everything, or if you do get a loan, it'll be like 40% interest.
We have a buddy who appeared on one of the episodes of Pot of Thunder who did something like that. You guys can go ahead and guess who that is. Yeah. But yeah,
I'd rather not.
He did a bankruptcy thing on some huge credit card bills, and after a couple of years, they wipe your
One of my old buddies did that. It's the same thing. He's a homeowner now. New car.
Yeah, exactly.
It was years ago, but you know, they don't lock you up for being a deadbeat. That's not a crime.
There's no debtor's prison in this country.
Right.
It's almost the way to go from like 18 to 22. Just go crazy. Then, you know.
We've known a couple individuals who have done that.
Yeah.
I'm not serious, Chris.
I know you're not serious, but in case anybody thinks that's a good idea or people have done it, you're a shit heel.
If you're getting life advice from Pot of Thunder.
Because you know what?
Don't.
Oh, yeah. But the other thing is, look, as long as we're on the topic, it's like people just think that, all that debt goes away. No, it gets pawned off on the rest of us who pay our fucking bills.
Right.
So, no, it's not a good idea. You know, get your flats. Save up for your flat screen, assholes. So.
All right. Well, what do we got here? Episode 33. Are we doing anything on Facebook? Oh, yeah. You said, what redeeming quality does this song have?
Yeah,
that's what we're doing.
But aside from that, I don't know. I guess we could throw out a challenge with the action figure, the Creatures of the Night action figure. Someone wants to design an animated GIF.
Well, they've got some time
But I doubt someone's going to want to do
that. Knocked it out of the park with a Kiss Blackjack.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
That's the best.
We'll understand if nobody does that.
That one, actually, we should figure out how to make that. That needs
it looks doable.
The blackjack needs to make a comeback. Again, like I said last time, and Jay can back me up on this. I'm sure he has strong opinions on this whole knockout game thing that's going on in the world. People need to be armed with blackjacks, man. You can't carry a gun around here. Nobody said you can't have a fucking sack of leather in your pocket, loaded up with some nuts and bolts and
hey, maybe you're a handyman.
This whole knockout game thing is ridiculous. But I to bring up also recent news, I think it was earlier in the week that store owner that shot and killed the guy trying to rob my. Those stories always put a smile on my face when some asshole comes in to do something and gets killed, and then the family said, "Oh, he's a good person."
It's always, "Oh, he's a good kid. He wouldn't
fuck
do
yourself.
That."
That's terrible. Like I'm so glad that happened.
Just wanted a chicken salad and roast beef. I didn't want to kill him, but I had to. He left me no choice. See, with a Kiss blackjack, you don't have to kill him. You just fucking beat the shit out of him. It's like the old pistol whipping maneuver.
It'd be for protection, really.
Yeah.
There you
but
go.
You can't carry a gun around here, so fuck it. Give me a sack of leather. I'll fucking smash his jaw in. Beautiful. We got
to
make
it. It's not too late to write that letter to Santa, Chris.
That'd be great, man. Fucking monogrammed blackjack.
Just
love it.
Just put an empty blackjack over the fireplace and see what he fills it with.
Hey, man, all these fucking clowns with the fake sets of balls hanging off the back of their truck, do fake set of balls blackjack.
That's a good idea.
Fucking shit would sell like crazy.
Just carry balls in your pocket.
Just a big sack of balls.
Knock someone out with a pair of balls.
Just fucking swing it around in the open. Just advertise the world that I am not someone to be fucked with. Telling you, we got to get on Shark Tank. Get with the FUBU guy.
You could have like sharp wire to emulate hair on the ball sack that would cut you as
exactly.
well as hurt you.
I like, yes, exactly. You can get fucking just hold all different variants. You know, one that hangs lower than the other. It's more aerodynamic, maybe. You know. One with extra wrinkles. It's more compact if you're
a cold weather set and
yeah,
a warm
right,
weather
right,
set.
Right, exactly. If you're hurting for storage space, you know. Fucking love it, man. We gotta come out with this. I'm telling you, this is gonna be our new crusade. Bring back the blackjack.
All right. Well, I think we should put an end to it right there. Yeah, that's good.
Let's blackjack this one and let's make this one pass out.
Let's do it like Peter to his own tit. Blackjack.
All right. Well, Jay, thanks for coming, man.
Appreciate it. Keep the good work up. I'll come back if we need another boost.
Yeah, every so often we notice the numbers decline. We have to bring you back.
We will always need a boost.
Yeah. But all right. Episode 33 is in the books. Let us know what you think. Bye-bye.
Yeah, nobody could understand what the fuck he was saying. Even the chick behind the belt bulletproof glass, I had to ask him to repeat it a few times.
Why did only one person get to be behind the glass?